Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
So here's the deal today. You're fasting for lunch, right? It's prayer day. So I'm just saying. So here's the deal. I don't want to be overly dramatic and play this little thing up, but I've been wrestling with the Lord a lot this morning on what to exactly say to you today. And I'm not 100% sure what that's going to look like, and I'm about to say it, so I kind of need your prayers to know what to say in a few minutes or seconds. I'm not being dramatic in saying that. When you've been in ministry for a little bit of time and you want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and you want to speak exactly to where you are today and where we are as a school and all that, I don't want to waste your time. I mean, we are in this week, and I've been invited to come speak, and you're on prayer day, and prayer day has a significant place in my heart at this place, because it's where my wife and I would pray and know what's next for us in ministry. Sorry. And to be able to go to the prayer towers, to be able to spend time together in prayer, and to discern what God has next for us in our ministry, as young marriage being launched out of this place, this day is weighty. Anybody wake up last night from some thunder? Yeah, me too. And it was amazing. I was awake from that, but also awake from praying about what's going on today and what we should talk about today. And yes, I did some preparation, and yes, I think I know where I'm going to go. But to wake up to thunder and lightning and then just be reminded in the Psalms that God commands the lightning bolts where to go, and that one day there's going to be lightning bolts that come out of the throne, and when it's all said and done, I mean, there's some powerful imagery there, and that our God is huge. He's just huge. But yet he cares about the number of hairs on your head, calls the earth his footstool. It's amazing. It's amazing. And my burden for you is, I'm not sure you fully realize that. I'm not sure you fully get how great and grandeur the Lord is, how much he cares about the local church, and how he wants you to be involved. He knows you intimately inside and out, knit you together in your mother's womb. He cares about the intimate details of your life and mine too. And I just want you to desperately get that on prayer day today at CIU. That's my prayer. So pray with me for just a minute. Father, we invite your Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. Lord, we don't have to pray for your presence to be here. It already is. Man, as soon as you ripped the temple in half, the big curtain in half, when you died on the cross for us, now we have access to you anytime we want to, and your presence is now with us all the time. But the question is, are we going to obey? Are we going to do what you tell us to do? Are we going to be sensitive enough to your Holy Spirit moving in our lives that we want to move out for your glory? And so would you do that in us this morning? In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3, if you would, with me. Ephesians chapter 3 is where we're going to go today. It sounds like that you've had some prayer time even in here this morning, and it sounds like you went through some of Paul's prayers, and that's kind of fun because I didn't know you were going to do that. And so we're going to go to one of Paul's prayers in just a minute. But listen, we're in a critical place in the history of the local church today. I don't know if you, sometimes when you're in the middle of the fishbowl, you don't see what's going on, but when you get out of the fishbowl or you do a little studying or you travel a little bit, you talk to some other people in ministry, you realize that in the United States of America, and you hear this all the time at CIU because you're missions minded and global and all that, but we're at a critical crossroads in the local church because, you know, I'll just talk about Denver for a minute where I live. Only 12% of those in the greater Denver area go to a Bible-believing church any given Sunday. 12%. Barna research says that we're number 14 on Barna's list of the most post-Christian cities in America. Number 14, that's pretty high. Some say 90% are unchurched in Denver. You know, all that creates like, man, we need to do church a little bit differently. And I'm trying to figure that out in a very, very old church that, praise God, our building's paid off, and that's a beautiful thing. But we need to figure out how we're going to reach more unchurched, dechurched people for Jesus. We get to figure that out in Denver. And you need to figure that out in your context, where you're going to go, where you're going to serve, whether you're going to go on staff at a church or whether you're going to be in the business world and serving that way. However it is, I already told you yesterday, you all need to be involved in the local church. So you need to pray and figure that out. But here's the deal. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 4, Paul shares with his young mentoree, Timothy, some things that talk about the last days and what's going to happen in the last days, whenever the last days are. I'm not going to talk about that today, but whenever the last days are, there's going to be some things that happen, but it's not just in the world, it's what's going to happen in the local church. This is what shakes me a little bit, being a lead pastor, is these are the kinds of things that are going to happen. People are going to be lovers of self inside the church. All about materialism and money and pleasure, and kids are going to disobey their parents all the time. It's like, but here, we've become numb to this because we think like it's a miracle that your kids would obey you at all. Let alone, like in the last days, one of the things is going to happen is kids are just going to rebel inside the church. That terrifies me, having three kids. That terrifies me. But I just go, what is going on? It's like the local church is a boat on high seas in the middle of a horrific storm, and waves are crashing, and everybody's a little panicked about what's going on, and people are being swung across the deck, and chairs are going everywhere, and we're looking for a leader to tell us what to do, and how are we going to calm the storms that are raging around us? And that's kind of the metaphor. And inside the church, you know, things are happening, like gossip and slander and backstabbing and complaining and grumbling about things that really don't matter in the long run. And it's amazing. It's amazing what people will turn away from, turn to their personal preferences away from the Prince of Peace all the time. It's like crazy. It's like, what is going on? You just want to step back, go up, you know, 30,000 feet and go, what? Everybody, look, wait. Did you guys just say, remember what you just sang about 2 seconds ago? How great Jesus is? And like, we get so distracted by things, and I'm quite certain that you're distracted by some things here at CIU too. And I won't name things specifically, but I could, around things that are personal preferences and opinions about things that really don't matter 100 years from now. They really don't. But what happens in and through the local church is going to matter a great deal. And so we got to figure this out. So Paul tells Timothy, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it." And boy, do I think about CIU and that when I say those verses. Like, the things that I've convinced of and learned and the foundation laid at a place like this before launched out into the real world is like, man, I go back to those things all the time. And that's not a commercial for CIU. It's just true. It's just true. Biblical worldview and missions-minded, Great Commission. I mean, all those things, like Paul tells Timothy, don't forget what you learned so that you can apply that stuff to your life down the road. So while you're doing that at CIU, we can get so distracted from the main thing. We can get so distracted, and you, especially college students, I mean, you can be distracted by a lot of different things. You know, maybe you're far away from home. Maybe you have different schedules you're adjusting to, and if you're a freshman, you're still in the middle of this whole thing, and you're adjusting to your roommate snoring, and how you're going to share that little refrigerator, and all these things going on. How you study, and the 1,000 apps on your phone, and who you're going to Snapchat next 2 seconds from now, and you're trying to figure that out. Do I post anything about this chapel or not? I mean, do I put, you know, whatever. I mean, you're wondering about whether your future spouse is in the room. Don't look at me like I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, you're like, maybe they are. Now, I ought to pray about that today. I mean, you can be so distracted by a whole bunch of things that you miss the main thing. And I don't want you to miss the main thing. So Paul prays for the church right there in the middle of Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14. Listen to this. Just let this sink in deeply, please. He says this, "For this reason," based on everything he just said about Jesus, "for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people, the church, to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. Some of you desperately need to know that today. And to know his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Oh my goodness. When is the last time you prayed a prayer anywhere close to that for anybody? When is the last time somebody prayed a prayer like that for you? I mean, Paul says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father. I'm kneeling before the Father because I'm begging God to have you love him in your innermost being, in your soul. When's the last time you prayed that for somebody? When's the last time somebody prayed that for you? I mean, that is when here's where the rubber meets the road, friends. I mean, this is where it's like, man, we have fluffy prayers. Man, our prayers are not specific enough. Man, our prayers are not bold enough and sacrificial enough. And like, why don't we pray the prayers like Paul did? He met Jesus on the road and it transformed his life. So now his prayer life is catapulted. Why? Because he's seen Jesus. He's alive. So I'm going to tap into that power source and ask God to do some things that he wouldn't do otherwise unless I asked him to do them. And so now it's like his prayer life, and he wrote it down for us. Thank you, God, for that gift of the Bible, for us to be able to pray that thing. It's like, are you kidding me? When is the last time you prayed for your family, your friends, or your president at the school, or Dr. Smith, or your deans, or your professors, or your classmates, or your city, or your state, or your country, in a way that only God can pull this off? Friends, we have to stop praying soft prayers. This is prayer day at CIU. You need to stop praying and start getting into the details of praying specific things for people's lives, not just for their behavioral stuff to change, but for God to capture them in their soul. Because if you capture them in their soul, the rest will take care of itself. But if you pray these gushy prayers on the outside, you're not convinced you're going to get to the core of the issue. So we got to push forward. Verse 14, the whole family came from this Father in heaven. It's like we're all related. We're all connected. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we're connected. We're part of the same family tree as God. Take a deep breath with me. Big deep breath. You couldn't do that unless God lets you. You couldn't take that breath unless God was involved. See, we get so distracted by things that we don't slow down and remember how huge and great our God is and how intimately he's involved in your lives. We go to him as a last resort. We don't go to him first. We complain over here about stuff. We don't go to him first. Verse 16, out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power. What in the world, Paul? I mean, how rich is God? His glorious riches. His glory is rich. And so he prays that way. It's like this snapshot of the millions of angels in heaven. Glory, glory, holy, holy, holy is Lord God Almighty. The scene that we're going to eventually get to, that's going to be awesome. But right now, there are angels doing that around the throne of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world right now. I mean, it's amazing. Verse 8, power through his spirit in your inner being, in your soul. Man, is Jesus still the love of your life or not? Is Jesus the front and center? The reason you take notes in class is because you want to get to know Jesus more. The reason you want to study for that test is not for the grade on the test, it's because you want to get to know Jesus more. The reason why you're in that relationship with that person is because you want to get to know Jesus more. The reason why you make those decisions about your future is because you want to get to know Jesus more. I mean, see, everything needs to change, friends. Everything needs to change in your innermost being. It just drives you then. And then to stop praying these soft prayers, like we stop for people to stop swearing or stop being sarcastic or looking at stuff they shouldn't look at, or they're kind of prideful, or to get a better grade on that, or to have you pray for your friend to get a date. I mean, we pray these soft, crazy prayers rather than, no, grab hold of their soul, Lord. Set them on fire for you, Lord. Do something that only you could do, Lord. that no people could do for you, Lord. I mean, when's the last time you prayed that kind of prayer? It gets crazy. We don't want to have just accountability partners. Listen, I've had every kind of accountability partner, and they're important. I mean, don't like email anybody about this statement I'm about to say, okay? But I've done every single kind of system there is, but sometimes the system is like the last question on the bottom of the pages: did you lie about anything you just told me? Well, that is not going to the inner being of our souls. That is staying on the surface. We got to have some relationships with people that want us to pursue Jesus as hard as we want them to pursue Jesus. And then we're like, you know, stop messing around. We don't have to ask these questions. Just give it to me. Tell me what's really going on. I had some great time with some friends I haven't seen in a long time yesterday. And we went there immediately because it's just been 20 years, but we just did. Let's not play games. Let's get right to the source of the issue. Let's figure out how to love Jesus with everything we've got. Let's do heart surgery through the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 17 and 18, Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, being rooted and established in love. I love living in Colorado. At fall time, it's called the gold rush. Maybe you've been there, but the aspen trees go golden on the backdrop of the pine trees, and it's beautiful. And they call it the gold rush. So you see these pockets of yellow, just brilliant, off of the green background. I don't know if you know much about aspen trees, but aspen trees are amazing. They have a root system that goes underneath the surface, and it can go up to 100 feet from the parent tree. And even when forest fires come, and they do in Colorado, unfortunately, and they come and they'll burn some of this stuff down, but people think that everything's dead. It's not. Below the surface, the aspens are still there. And when everything's cleared out, they'll start to bear root again and come into another tree, and those trees will last for a long, long time. And that root system, some have figured out, can last up to thousands of years. That root system is powerful. It can penetrate fire on the surface, but below the surface is a root system that's established. And so some of you, man, you came from a greenhouse of a Christian home and a good church, maybe a good youth ministry, and maybe some good stuff going on, and it was really, really good, and it was fostered, and then there's been some things that have happened in your life that has kind of shaken your foundation, and you have to go back to the roots. What were the roots? Some of you are getting that root system now at CIU, and you're figuring out who you are in Christ and what's going on, and you're trying to get these root systems established. And Paul's praying about that you be rooted in love. Love for Jesus, love for people. You be rooted in that. Listen, some people are leaving the church, and they're leaving Jesus. I don't know about you, but I can't imagine leaving Jesus. Can you imagine leaving Jesus? I mean, do you know what he's done for you? I mean, Jesus, let me just remind you. I mean, this is Jesus who was born by a miracle, lived a perfect life, would end up heading towards a cross to take your place for the forgiveness of sins. He would rise from the grave on the third day, just as has been predicted, and just as has been predicted hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before. I mean, fulfill lots of prophecy. And the places that are real, that you can walk to and be at today. I mean, this Jesus, I mean, I can't imagine somebody getting to a place where they would leave Jesus. Because he's done that for you. It's called grace, friends. But some of you, even at CIU, I'm not naive, would be tempted to leave Jesus. Even though you're in this greenhouse that is perfect for you and it's exactly what you need, but what you're doing is you're balking on the rules, and you think it's legalism rather than going, no, it's guardrails to keep you in bounds with Jesus. And you have leadership around here is just doing their best job to get those guardrails right without legalism, to do it with grace so that you'll be set up for the future. Trust me, I've been here, done that. Got it. So don't balk on Jesus. Don't turn your back on Jesus. I mean, amazing love. How can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love. I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I mean, this is Jesus we're talking about. And Jesus loves the church, so we have to love the church. Paul desperately wants you to know Jesus, verse 18 there. How wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ for you? Some of you need to desperately know that today. Some of you need to know how much Jesus loves you. Some of you, that hasn't sunk in deep to your soul. You got it on the surface. You've heard sermons about it, teaching about it, and professors and all this stuff, and you've read about it in books, but it hasn't penetrated deep into your soul how much Jesus loves you. Listen, friends, it's not conditional. It's not based on performance. It's not based on the grades you get here, praise the Lord. I told you that story yesterday. I failed Greek the first time I took it here. It's his grace and his love, like a good daddy looking at their child going, I love you. It doesn't matter what you do. I'm always going to be here for you. Some of you don't have that worldview and that mindset, and you desperately need it. And Paul prays like for the church to get this, for the church to get this. This is so much bigger than your next grade or major diploma or future spouse or future job for you to nail this and understand how much Jesus loves you, because it shapes your identity and determines your destiny. Or you're going to get derailed down the road if you're not careful. Then he says something really interesting at a Bible college and seminary. He says, know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. It's okay for you to pursue Jesus with everything you have, and to pursue Jesus and to know Jesus is better than knowledge. Knowledge is good. It trains you. It equips you. But to know Jesus is better. To know Jesus is better. And the Holy Spirit has to do this kind of work, friends. You can't teach passion. I wish you could. I wish there was a book. There are books about passion. But only you spending time with the Lord individually, in community, in a local church will help you grow in passion. There's no shortcuts to getting passion. You just want to spend time with other people that have it. And so it rubs off on you, and you only get it from spending time with the Lord. And then verse 19, that God would fill you up to the measure of all the fullness of God. Are you kidding me, Paul? I mean, to pray for the church, can you imagine the whole local church being filled up to the measure of being so full of God? That would change a city. That would change a nation. If a whole local church, just one local church would be so on fire for the Lord, measured by all the fullness of God. I mean, does anybody look at your life and say, man, they are full of God? Man, they just leak out. They're just contagious. They're just like, there's something about that. It's otherworldly because it's Holy Spirit driven. It's supernatural. Anybody say that about your life? Do you know anybody like that who you want to hang out with and get as close to as you possibly can because you just know they're like oozing God? I mean, this is what Paul's praying for, friends. And it's a choice of commitment. It's just a first choice of, man, I'm going to be in this thing. In the same way I'm in my marriage, it's a commitment. It's a choice. It might have ups and downs emotionally, but I'm in it for the long haul, committed, because I want to love my wife. In the same way, you can't be half pregnant. You're either in, you want to be in fully and love Jesus. I'm in. So that means now take every single area of my life. Listen, my wife and I just got back from Israel. First time I've been. And it was life-changing, so much so that we are planning a trip for our church to go. And I know some of you are going to get a chance this summer. I saw a little ad up here on to go. You should go. And it's amazing. And what it just did for me, for my faith, is, man, we were on the mountain probably where Elijah was on Mount Carmel. Where he called down fire from heaven with a simple little prayer and boom, blew up an altar. Are you kidding me? We're in that general area. We make our way around and eventually get to Jerusalem. We're standing on stairs that we know for sure that Jesus would have stood on, sat on, talked on, walked through. We're in synagogue ruins where we know that Jesus would have taught there and went through that door and stood in there and taught those guys. We're on the Temple Mount around, I know it's above and everything's below and all that stuff, but the area where Jesus would have come into that whole thing. We went to the place, the Praetorium, where he would have been mocked and ridiculed and flogged. On the same rocks where blood would have been all over the place, and then escorted out of that area to the crowd and to walk eventually to the cross, bearing that the whole way. I mean, are you kidding me? This stuff's real, friends. This stuff's real. And man, I want, like Paul wanted for this church, for you to desperately get it. For you to desperately, there's nothing more important to me than knowing Jesus and loving the things that Jesus loves. And that's only going to come through you desperately seeking him and finding him. I mean, and today is a perfect day to do it, for you to pursue him with everything you have. Listen, I don't know if the bookstore is open, but you ought to go get a notebook. You ought to go get something to write down on. You ought to go journal. You ought to write some stuff down that the Lord's telling you. You ought to keep that. You ought to go borrow somebody from someone. Don't steal it. Ask him, can I have that and keep it and take it from them? Write some stuff down and say, Lord, you know, maybe some of you have never done this before. It's the very first time that you're going to write some things down and look up some verses and just spend some time with Jesus. And say, Jesus, will you speak to me? Would you tell me how much you love me? Show that to me. Help me to pray prayers like you've prayed here for this church through Paul. And help me to pray that for other people and help people pray that for me. And help me in the deep in my soul. Help me to get this stuff. And then because I want to love the things you love, Jesus, help me to fall more in love with your bride, the church. And be plugged in and serve there, even though it's messy and crazy and sheep go everywhere all the time, friends. It's just the nature of sheep. It's the way it is. But that's the way I am sometimes. So at the very end of this, I didn't read it, verse 20 and 21. Here's the crescendo. You ready? Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, that is God. According to his power that's at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And then Paul has more to say in this book. So here's the deal. I'm just going to say it. Got a few minutes left before you're going to go to lunch, but you're fasting, so it doesn't matter, right? I'm going to invite you to do something. I don't know how often you do stuff like this in chapel, but I'm just going to invite you to do something. There's no pressure at all to do it. I don't care. I mean, I'm not counting anybody. I'm just saying that some of you need to do this, so I just want to be obedient to offer you the opportunity to do it. I mean, Paul said, I get on my knees before you for this church, and I don't know, again, I'm not keeping track. I'm not counting. I don't care, but I just feel like some of you need to do this to seal the deal. I'm going to invite you to come forward. And here's why I'm going to invite you to come forward so you know, you get it. Like, maybe you need a fresh start with Jesus. Maybe you need a fresh start with Jesus, and you're like, man, I know he's out here, but I'm not sure he's in the core of my soul. I'm not sure he's everything to me. I'm not sure I'm all in. I'm kind of 90% in, but I want to hold on to that 10% for myself sometimes. Maybe you need to seal the deal and say, no, today's the day I want to be all in with Jesus, no matter what he tells me to do, wherever he wants me to go, whatever. Maybe that's for you. And you need to physically put your body into position. That's why we do altar calls back in the day, where you physically have to do something with your body to make a commitment. But then I want to take it a step further and say, man, if Paul could get on his knees for the sake of this church, why can't we? So again, if you feel like that's you, you can, I don't care, you can get on your knees later today, you can get on your knees right where you are, but I want to invite you right now. Go ahead and stand up. Everybody, just go ahead and everybody stand up. And just invite you, because I'm going to pray for you. And if you feel led to do that, just come on down here to the front and get in whatever bodily position you want to, just to express, man, I want a fresh start with Jesus today, and I want to love the things that Jesus loves. And that would include the local church. If that's you, come on, I'll wait 2 minutes, and then I'll pray for you. Guys, what better day than today on prayer day at CIU? To say, Lord, I want to be all in with you, and I want to love the things that you love. Father, we love you. We really can't fully comprehend totally what you've done for us, and that you'd send your son Jesus to rescue us. When we didn't deserve it, there's nothing we can do to earn it. And you sent Jesus to rescue us and take our place that we deserved. And what an absolutely amazing gift. So I pray, God, that we seal that deal in our hearts today. Help us to be fully all in with you, Lord. Would you today reveal parts of our lives, including me, where it's not all in, it's not totally yours. It's close, but it's not quite there. Help us to obey you and ask for forgiveness and then know how much you love us as a good daddy. You just want to pick us up and hug us and go, let's go do this thing together. So Lord, would you blow our expectations away? Would you help us to pray the kind of prayers that Paul prayed for the church, even today? We love you. In Jesus' name.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.